is Nerd Scoozer News for the week of December 3rd, 2018, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hartman Baker. Today's guest is Lori Steffi. Lori is a NESAP for Data postdoc. She grew up in Orlando, where she was able to watch shuttle launches from her house. Lori, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rebecca. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So today's topic is NESAP postdocing. We were talking about this before. I think postdocing is a verb.
Yeah.
And I think it's spelled with a K, like picnicking.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So, Lori, what do you do as a NESAP postdoc?
At the very highest level, my job is to speed up DESI's Python data processing.
Okay, so what is DESI?
DESI is the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument, and they are part of the family of experiments that are trying to figure out what is dark energy. I didn't know this before I started, but dark energy, they think, is 70% of our universe, and people don't really understand what it is or how it works. So DESI, over 5 years, is going to make the most detailed 3D map ever of the universe, which is super cool. And they're going to use that map to sort of confirm or throw out people's ideas about what dark energy might be. So we're going to help them do that, and that's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. So how are they going to do that exactly?
So they are, right now, while we're talking, installing their instruments in the Mile Telescope in Arizona, and they're going to come online next year, and every night for 5 years, they're going to take all these images of the night sky, and they need to process them, and so that's where we come in. Every night, they'll run a few hundred nodes for a few hours to get all the data that they need, and then they can decide where to point their telescope on the next night.
Oh, okay, that's cool. So then how are you helping to speed up their codes?
So they have decided to write their processing in Python. Python is great, I love Python. And they have made that choice rather than more of a traditional Fortran or C because they just don't have that many developers and their code has to be ready by next year when their telescope is producing data. So Python was sort of the choice that they made. And so they've said, we'd like to keep our code in Python. We don't want you to rewrite in C, but please make it run faster. So that's where NESAP and I come in.
Okay, so then what are you doing to make it run faster?
Well, when we started, we weren't really sure what would work or what wouldn't work. The thing that has worked best for us is something called Numba, which is a just-in-time Python compiler. And that means that you add a decorator to a function that you know is expensive and make a few modifications so that it knows what to do, so you can't be sloppy with your types like Python will sometimes let you do. And then when it comes to this function, it compiles it and it can run way faster. In one case, we got 15x speedup for one kernel, so it's a good tool. And DESI likes it because it means that their code stays in Python, which is what they wanted. So.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Yeah.
And so you're using some kind of Python profiling then?
Yeah, we do. We go in the order where we figure out where to focus our efforts. So we always profile first. We take data with a lot of tools. Python has something called cProfile, which is built in. We also like Line Profiler, which you'll find on GitHub, which gives you just line by line how much time is spent. And then once we know where our problem functions are, then we can focus on what the fix is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's smart. I mean, you wouldn't want to fix something that didn't take any time at all.
Right, and it's amazing how wrong your intuition can be. So what you should do is take data on your code, and then you know exactly where to spend your time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So now, are you using numerical libraries in Python?
That's also a good question. So, yes. DESI is really good about using NumPy and SciPy, which are, for people who aren't familiar, like sort of built-in numerical libraries in Python, and then they, under the hood, usually are Fortran or C, so they're already pretty fast. So they've been good about that, and so then we will try to leverage that and then make it run even faster with compiling where we can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, that's great. So, Lori, what's it like being a NESAP postdoc?
It's fun. I enjoy my job every day. It's a little different. Everything we have done to speed up their code has been different, so it's a new adventure every time. It's interesting learning about all of these new technologies and getting ready for our next system. And it's both terrifying and exciting to think about getting all of this code maybe running on a GPU. So yeah, every day something new.
Okay, great. So we have a whole bunch of new postdoc positions for our new NESF for Perlmutter program opening up now.
Yeah. I would encourage anybody out there who's interested to apply. My background wasn't high-performance computing. It was plasmas, and I sort of ended up here by accident. My husband and I were both looking for jobs and had to sort of expand my job search, and when I saw that NERSC had a position, I thought, well, I'm probably not qualified for this, but I know that NERSC is cool, and why not? So I applied, and I was excited when they wanted to talk to me. But yeah, my advice would be, if you are interested in using your expertise to work on science, all kinds of cool science, like I work on dark energy, but some of my colleagues work with the ATLAS detector at the LHC or the cosmic microwave background. So you can, instead of, you know, mining data for ad revenue, you could be working on really cool science problems. Yeah, working here on our brand new system coming in 2020 is going to be really exciting, and working with a really great group of people. So yeah, I would encourage anybody who is even a little bit interested to apply.
Yeah, and you don't have to be some, like, computer science ninja or something, no. Right?
No, I was definitely not. So yeah, let NERSC make that decision for you.
That's right. So sometimes people will tend to not apply. They'll exclude themselves because right. They think that we couldn't possibly be interested in them. But I would suggest that you make that a decision for NERSC to make instead of yourself, because you just never know.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, when I read this job posting, I thought, oh, I'm not qualified for this, because it does sound intimidating. There's a lot of things on there listed skills that I just didn't have. But I tried anyway, and I'm super glad because I'm here and I love my job. So don't worry if you don't meet every qualification on the list. If you're excited about science, go ahead and apply.
Well, I'm glad that you decided to go ahead and apply.
Me too.
Yeah, great. So Lori, how did you get into this field? Because like you said, this wasn't really your background.
No, it was sort of a happy accident. I studied physics as an undergrad, and then in grad school, I was studying fusion and plasma physics. I was excited about fusion powering the Earth. But after I finished, I have a two-body problem. My husband and I both needed jobs, and it was just tough to find jobs for both of us in places where there were fusion experiments, which, spoiler alert, there aren't many. So when I started widening my search, I saw that NERSC had a position, and I'd always kind of enjoyed running big jobs on clusters, or one time I even had a supercomputer access for a few months, so I thought that was cool, and yeah, long story short, here I am.
All right, so finishing up, three things that you want NERSC users to know.
Cool. All right. I will shamelessly plug my own documentation. If you are a Python user and you are interested in profiling your code, which is the first step before you can really think about making it go fast, if you just Google NERSC Python profiling, my page is the first one that comes up. And then, yeah, I have some information about how to use a couple profilers and how to get some good information. So check that out. My second one is you should try SSH proxy if you're an MFA user, and
which you will be in January, okay. Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. All right, so be an SSH hipster and
try it before everyone else tries
it. Right, before it's cool. But seriously, it changed my life for the better because you only have to enter your credentials once a day, which is great. So I think that's cool. And then, yeah, my third thing is a little different, but it's that before I came, I had this idea that NERSC was this intimidating, super hardcore place where you could only run if you were really awesome at computers. And it is, but I would just like to add that the people here are, like, both awesome at their jobs and very nice and very approachable. So you should know that there are lots of very helpful trainings, and if you're having trouble, put in a ticket, and lots of good documentation. So it's a very friendly place in addition to being hardcore.
Oh, great. I'm glad you think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those are all three good tips. So thank you very much. Thanks for joining me today, Lori.
Thank you very much.